listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 9th. Hitting the show off and running today. We got Jordan here, and we are joined by our good friend, one of our best friends, Gabby Rutia from 247 Sports. Hi, Gabby.
What's up, Marsh? What's up, Jordan? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm doing well, bro. Ready? Getting.
How's the move,
bro? It has been something. It has been something for all you people that have moved. Know that it definitely has its ups and downs. I love the place, but you know, still working on getting full internet access and all those types of things. So, pretty limited. I got myself like a little turf golf, like a foot of turf. So, and like some wiffle balls, and I've just been like swinging my golf clubs in my backyard. There's no fences or anything up, so just a bunch of grass.
I feel like you're like 4 hours away now.
Oh, I am. I'm far, man. Like I'm going up to play basketball in a little bit here with some buddies I usually play with, like almost weekly, and that 10-minute drive just turns into like a 35-minute drive. But you know, but ball's life, so definitely gotta do that.
Yeah, well, and we'll freaking. So me, Gabby, and Cam Underwood had lunch last week, and Gabby said, hey, this place in Midtown Miami. It was great, by the way. It was great, but good Lord, it took us probably an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that area. I parked in the parking garage above the restaurant that we ate at, and I walked around for no joke. This is not an exaggeration. I walked around for 25 minutes to find a restaurant I parked literally right on top of. So that was super embarrassing. But yeah, it might have been worth it because that was some fire barbecue.
It was some good barbecue. Okay, so let's get into, I know you don't have much time. Little recruiting news, or not really news, but I have a few recruiting questions. So you've been going to some 7-on-7 tournaments lately, and I promise I am going to make it to one of those days. One guy I wanted to ask you about, he was at the Battle Miami tournament, Kamari Rogers, out of Mississippi, cornerback, 4-star. I've watched his film. I think he's a solid prospect. Where do you think Miami stands with him, and where would you rank him in terms of Miami targets for cornerback in this class?
Yeah, I mean, to start off, I think Kamari Rogers is an excellent prospect. Like, you know, he was really, really good all weekend for the Louisiana Bootleggers, which is a same team like Devonta Smith played on, OBJ played on that team. So probably, I guess, like the Louisiana New Orleans powerhouse of the 7-on-7 circuit. And he was excellent. He was awesome all weekend. He was covering Kion Graves, you know, 4-star guy out of Chandler, Arizona, which is a big-time program there out west. He's actually getting some crystal balls to Ohio State, so potential Buckeye, and he kind of locked him up, did a really good job covering him. Shut down Jaylen Brown, the 2023 top 100 wide receiver, who's one of my favorite prospects, like, across the board in Miami-Dade County. And I haven't really seen Jaylen Brown get shut down like that ever, so that was, I think that was more of a testament to Kamari Rogers rather than, like, a knock on the sophomore Jaylen Brown. But I think Miami's in a good spot, you know. Obviously, they're battling two in-state schools, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. He has a few crystal balls to Ole Miss. The Mississippi State insider, actually, on 247 Sports, has him crystal ball to Miami. He's been hearing some good things, and I think that's coming out of Kamari Rogers' camp. I spoke to him, and I got the impression that, you know, him and DeMarcus Van Dyke had been building a relationship for months now. And again, I just think this is another one of those situations where you kind of look at the DeMarcus Van Dyke move and see how much sense it makes to make him an on-field coach, to be a guy that can recruit continuously throughout the year in person when eventually that happens. And I think Kamari Rogers is a prime example of that. I absolutely think Miami's right in the thick of things, and I know Miami's absolutely pushing for him. As far as where he sits on the board, I think Earl Little Jr., just being a local guy, I think he sits at the top of the board, but I think Kamari Rogers is just below him from a talent standpoint. You know, you can make the argument for either one depending on your preference, but I would still put Earl Little a little bit above him, and then I would probably put Kamari Rogers followed by, you know, then it's just a matter of preference of what people like. You have the Jacoby Spellses, you have, you have the Trevon Mullins, you have guys like that where, I mean, I guess it's kind of just who you like and stuff, but I would put Kamari Rogers definitely near the top of the board.
Okay, so staying with defensive backs and really on the defense, I want to ask you about the new coaches, T-Rob, T-Will. Home run hires in, I think, in the eyes of all Canes fans. You've talked to recruits since the hirings. How much, and we all have heard that, you know, they're incredible recruiters, especially T-Rob. How much of an impact, does this really have? And how much of an impact will this really have, do you think, with Miami recruiting in this class and recruiting more of the elite players in South Florida and across the country on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think T-Rob specifically is gonna have a big impact. Like you're hearing guys like Dante Anderson and, you know, Daniel Lyons and, you know, even like, you know, a few of the other top targets talk about how they've heard from T-Rob. Wesley Bisanti's heard from T-Rob. You know, like guys like that T-Rob's not only sticking to the defensive backs. You can tell that he's going to be a guy that's going to be involved in all for all these guys, for all these defensive targets. Like he's just one of those guys that like that just his what he brings as a recruiter is too valuable to just specifically restrict him to just what the defensive back room brings. So I think that he's huge in that aspect. I think Travis Williams is a guy that, I mean, you speak to Auburn fans, like you can go on our message board and, you know, the Auburn inside Keith Niebuhr, who does an excellent job covering Auburn for 24/7 sports. He came on our board and posted just a bunch of amazing things about Travis Williams. I actually have a buddy who his best friend is a diehard Auburn fan. And he's saying, oh, I want to come down to Miami to watch a game at Hard Rock just because of Travis Williams. Like he was not a guy Auburn fans were ready to let go of. I mean, he was he had a huge impact with them. I mean, you see a lot of these out-of-state linebackers that Miami's offering, and you click on their 24/7 sports profile, and you're seeing that Travis Williams is a primary recruiter for a lot of these guys, and sometimes Auburn's listed as warm. So Auburn was making an impression with Travis Williams leading the way. So I think he makes a huge impact, you know, just, you know, out-of-state in the South, which are kind of like his roots, the Georgia, Atlanta area, Alabama, North Carolina, the Carolinas, you know, that type of stuff, and also kind of establishing, you know, obviously the South Florida area where Miami primarily likes to recruit. I don't think he's going to have any trouble at all kind of developing some strong ties down here and, you know, eventually like leaving his footprint on these recruiting classes going forward.
Okay, so you've talked about the defensive backs, and we know that cornerback is a huge, huge need for Miami in this class. But I mean, linebacker is, you know, in my opinion, just as big of a, you know, of a position of need in this recruiting class. You know, we know Wesley out of Miami Central. Who are some linebackers that you think Miami, you know, realistically has a shot at? And then I also want to ask you about the defensive line and where we stand with that. But yeah, who are some of the linebackers that you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think. Right. Oh, just once you mentioned Wesley Bisanti, I think he's absolutely at the top of the board. I think Travius Lathan out of Miami Gulliver Prep, you know, it's just down the road from UM. Like it's just down US-1, not far at all. And, you know, I spoke with him and, you know, you can read our conversation at InsideTheU.com and just look it up there. But he basically told me that, you know, Travis Williams told him and T-Rob told him, like, you're right down the street from us. Like, we're not going to let you get out of here. And that's a big deal because, you know, there's schools like Florida, there's schools like Oregon, there's schools like Georgia that are really pushing for Trey, who he calls himself Trey. That's like his nickname. And, you know, it seems like Miami's really going to start to kind of turn the heat up there. And I think he's a really good player. He's a guy that plays a lot of wide receiver, you know, just a really skilled athlete, just a guy that definitely translates to, you know, once he moves primarily to the defensive side of the ball, he has a skill set to just be really athletic and kind of fill in a lot of the stuff that Miami kind of doesn't have on their defense or hasn't had in the defense, just with just especially at the linebacker position, like you mentioned. So I think Travius Lathan's another guy. And then, I mean, you kind of start moving towards like the out-of-state targets and you can go, you know, Devon Jackson out of the Nebraska area, Javon Willis out of Lee County. You can go TJ Dudley out of Montgomery, you know, guys like that where it's like, you know, they have like, we're going to kind of see how the board starts to shape up. Cause again, Travis Williams does have those ties, but obviously with this time of COVID that no one's able to travel or visit anywhere, who knows how real that interest is. So I think with the linebacker board, it's going to be one of those things that I feel like it's going to develop later on, just given the circumstances. And again, just given that we don't really know how much of a pool Travis Williams is going to have with those guys, because again, they're not able to visit at this moment. You know, they're not able to get out on the road and kind of gauge that. So everything that's happening there is just happening virtually and stuff like that. So I think that's just going to be a product of this cycle. I think you're going to see a lot more guys kind of taking their time. I think you're going to see a lot more programs kind of taking their time with accepting kids and like accepting commitments and things like that. And I think it's just because everyone kind of wants to do their due diligence. So I think the linebacker board's going to kind of shape up a little more slowly just based on everything.
Okay, so my last recruiting question for you, I know you and I are talking about a million miles an hour right now, but so I'll skip the defensive line question. You recently just posted an article on 247 about Ja'Kari Brown, you know, four-star quarterback out of Georgia. Originally he thought he was thought to be a, you know, a UF lock, but apparently with Brian Johnson leaving to the Eagles, that may not be the case anymore. Do you think Miami, you know, has a realistic shot at him? Because he's one of the top quarterbacks in this class, you know, dual threat guy, has a little bit of Derek King in him. What are your thoughts on him? And you know, after writing that article, where do you think his recruitment process with Miami stands?
Yeah, I think Miami's in a good spot right now. I think that, like you mentioned, like Florida, obviously, I think even with the departure of Brian Johnson, I still think that they're going to be a player in this. But I like, you know, if you read the article on InsideTheU.com, like he said that absolutely made an impact on it. So, but I think Miami's sitting in a good spot. I know Texas A&M, Auburn, Arizona State are a couple of the other schools he mentioned, but I mean, but Texas A&M and Auburn have already taken commitments from quarterbacks. So how much does that impact Ja'Kari Brown? Who really knows? But I mean, I like Ja'Kari Brown. I think that he's a, you know, a lot of people like his knock that people like to say, especially on our message board, is that, oh, like he's not a good thrower. And, you know, that's obviously fair. Like, that's a fair assessment. But he's an elite runner. He does a lot of different things well. He's a winner. He's been at one of the winningest programs in Georgia at Valdosta Lounge. So he definitely has that aspect of it. And, you know, what I actually just posted not too long ago on our board, and I was saying, like, you know, when you bring in a quarterback, you're not expecting him like Ja'Kari Brown isn't going to be a plug and play guy. Like, you're not expecting to get a Ja'Kari Brown type and just say, hey, by the way, you're starting game one as a true freshman. Like, you're expecting to develop any arm that comes into your program. So, you know, to have a guy like Ja'Kari, who's already an elite runner, who already has a skill set that just it's just not found at 6'4", 200 plus pounds. You know, not a lot of people are walking around like that those kind of like intangibles. And so to bring in a guy like that and then develop him in your system is kind of like what you can do. And I think that's really why Ja'Kari Brown has so much upside to me. But yeah, I mean, I think Miami's definitely in a good spot in his recruitment. And yeah, we'll continue to monitor and see how that kind of goes as, you know, things change up and, you know, time continues to kind of progress.
Well, changing pace a little bit, Gabby, I want to ask you about, I guess, how you're projecting the defensive side of the ball for us next year. So I'm having a hard time deciding how I feel. You know, I know Manny Diaz is, you know, he was a wildly successful defensive coordinator for us. He's going to be calling the plays again. However, you know, one of my predictions for this last season is that we would see the worst defense since Manny Diaz was hired on staff here. And that was more so because of personnel in terms of players than it was the coaching staff. I know the coaching staff got a lot of the blame. I'm not trying to dispute that. However, do you kind of see where I'm going with this? And that, you know, I'm not sure that running the same players back is going to make us a whole lot better with a different guy calling plays. And I just want to gauge your temperature on that idea.
Yeah, I mean, something that a lot of people don't understand is how involved Manny Diaz has already been in the defense. Like, he's been very open about that. Like, if you've been listening to his press conferences in the past, like, Manny Diaz has said multiple times that, you know, he is a part of the defensive game planning. Like, he is a part of every single defensive meeting. So, you know, a lot of people like to put stuff on Blake Baker, but Manny Diaz was very much involved with what was going on. So honestly, I'm not sure how much is really going to change, other than the fact that I think he's going to be like primarily focused on the defense and kind of let Rhett Lashley do his thing on offense, apart from, you know, his, like, you know, CEO duties where he has to do check off a few things. But I mean, the name of the game in college football is just, I think it's just experience. You know, like, obviously, you know, the personnel is going to be basically exactly the same minus a few pass rushers, which is definitely going to hurt Miami. But I mean, I think that you get a lot of experience back, and I think you hope that under, you know, a hopefully regular summer, and then, you know, a hopefully regular fall camp, that these guys are able to make like serious improvements. Like, they're actually able to make, like, you know, tangible improvements. And with the experience that they already kind of carry alongside with them, you kind of hope that, you know, those guys that were making X, Y, and Z mistakes last year aren't making those same ones this year. As, you know, just being a year older, a year better, and just kind of having that veteran presence on a defense. So, I mean, I could see a situation where it doesn't go as well as, you know, like we're kind of like what you're saying, where, you know, at the end of the day, the personnel is the personnel. And at the end of the day, the personnel maybe is just not where it needs to be. But I just think from an experience standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, I hope that there will be some sort of jump. And with Manny Diaz really just taking full accountability and responsibility over the unit, I would expect to see some improvement. I'm just going to be really interested to see how the pass rushers come up, because I think that's ultimately the make or break for this Hurricanes defense. I think it has been for some years, but it was never better under than it was under Jess Simpson. So I'm excited to see what he kind of does with that group.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we know you got to go, Gabby. So we will let you go play some basketball. We thank you very much, brother. I know that it was a rushed interview, but we really
no, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. I love what you guys do. Love the passion you guys show for all this stuff. So happy to be here with you guys anytime you guys invite me.
Yep. Perfect. Thanks, Gavin. All right. Make your way down to Hollywood soon.
Oh, you make your way down to Homestead, Marsh. And let's grab dinner or lunch in the Keys or something like that. That sounds better.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Okay, all right, perfect. Guys. All right, brother. Thanks, Gabby.
See you, man. Cool, bro. Love having Gabby on.
He's the salt of the earth.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And, you know, his brother Callie as well, man. Just good family.
Yeah, it was a good meeting up with him the other week. That was actually my first time seeing him since I moved back, which is
nice.
Took way too long to see him, but yeah, just a good guy. the amount of information that he knows, like recruits and everything, like names. It's insane.
Yeah, I have yet to like really sink my teeth into the 2022 class. So there's not much that I know. And, you know, like just like you said, you know, he just knows so much. Like I feel like I understood about 50% of what he said. You know, like
yeah. No,
I'm not on that level.
I mean, like because the last class just ended.
Yep.
And just to get like a good grasp on one recruiting class, like at all, like a decent grasp is insanity.
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, it's crazy that like I cover the Hurricanes like as a writer, and these like normal, like these everyday fans, like no more recruits than I do. And it's 'cause I just got into this but Gabby, I mean, he does an awesome job, and I'm really, really excited to see what happens, you know, recruiting cornerbacks wise, now that T-Rob is on the staff.
Yeah, I was glad to hear his opinion on the defense, you know, that he somewhat agrees with me, because I feel like I've been shouting into the void for the last month. You know, I feel like everyone on Twitter thinks that we're going to have a top 10 defense again. And I'm just like, okay, you know, like, yeah, we're so experienced with guys that everyone was mad at a month and a half ago.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, okay. We got someone else ready?
Yeah, we got AB coming on. So give me just 1 second. I'll call him in. AB, what's up, brother?
Hello. What's up, brothers?
Nothing much, man.
Just so, another day, another dollar.
So we got Adrian Bistolfi here. You guys might know him as Stickers by AB or Edits by AB. Either way, he's a great man, a personal friend, and does some killer design work. So, dude, tell us what you got going on, first of all.
All right, so I mean, for the ones that don't know, Stickers by AB started when my boy Hudgens from the Stadium Drive podcast saw one of my edits from Edits by AB. Actually, I think it was the Leonard Taylor one. He saw the 305 hands on there, and he's like, "Man, I really need that as a sticker." So we started talking, and he's like, "You know," as the conversations progressed, he's like, "You really should start a sticker company." And at that point, I had no idea about stickers or what to do with it as far as the business concern. But as we kept on talking about it, he kept on throwing me a bunch of sticker ideas. And at one point I just asked him, I'm like, "Man, let's just go ahead and partner up on this thing."
Yeah.
So what started as a conversation about one sticker has now blossomed into a company that has sold hundreds of stickers across 28 states now. So obviously I have partners like you, you know, Forza, Scoop on the U, the State of Miami podcast with John Michaels to thank for it, along with obviously all the Miami fans. I don't think when we got this thing started, we could have anticipated the response. It's been great, and we've been nothing but grateful for it. So obviously you can find us at Stickers by AB. That's STICKERZ by AB on Twitter. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. And you can obviously find us at stickersbyab.com. So
cool.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you guys do great work. I have about 6 stickers on my car.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I got a few of them on my own, too. I'm running out of space now.
So, AB, so for those of you who don't know, I was with AB. He was kind enough to take me to the massacre that was Miami, North Carolina.
Yep.
Man, what a day that was.
Yeah, it was, you know, besides the game and all, obviously, we had a great time. Which at the end of the day matters a lot, but yeah, man, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but as of right now, Mac Brown owns Manny Diaz. So,
you know, if you guys pitched that to me and, you know, one of you called me and was like, "Hey Jordan, come to the game with AB and Marsh," I would be all over that until you said, you know, like,
UNC.
And this is in retrospect, right? Yeah. But you have to go to the UNC game and get blown out 26-62. I'd be like, nah, man, I'll stay here in 30 degrees in snow in Utah and leave you guys to it.
Yeah, it was so a rough bad. One. It was a rough one.
Yeah.
The pregame was fun.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We had a great time together. I
broke my ankle walking up to the stadium, so that was
cool. Oh, my God, I remember.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, AB, we're about a month away from spring football, spring practice starting. The schedule's out. This past recruiting class is done. We got the early enrollees. We're in the weight room. How are you? I know we're still months and months and months away from Alabama and the 2021 season starting, but, I mean, we got spring practice in a month. What are your, you know, as a fan, what are your general and realistic expectations looking ahead to the 2021 season?
I mean, if I had to put it to a record, I'm in that 8-4, 9-3 range, you know, early predictions. There's a lot that this team and this staff need to prove to me before, you know, prove that they've taken that next step before I can confidently say this is a, you know, 10-2, 11-1 team.
Yeah, no, it's funny because you think that Canes fans would have learned by now.
No idea.
I really do feel like they would have learned from their past mistakes, and they keep making the same dumbass predictions every single offseason. I don't get it. I don't understand.
You seem to have the longest memory and the shortest memory in all of college football somehow.
Yep. And
it's crazy. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's too bad. And, you know, hopefully there is a year that we're the guys that look stupid in retrospect. You know what I mean?
And I would happily take the L.
Absolutely. That's my mantra, man, is like I predict what I think is going to happen. And if I'm wrong, like I'll take that L happily, you know.
There's just so many things that can happen. So look at it. You know, I think we need to pay attention to the quarterback situation right now, because as scary as it is to think about, we're one king setback away from a Van Dyke / Motoka / Garcia led offense for 21.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
just for the Alabama game, I mean, it's going to be hard to do much that year if we lose by 40 in the opener. And we might even do that with De'Ara King. Like, let's be real for a minute.
Yeah.
Probably. It's probably going
to
happen.
Are you going to that game?
So, I'm not sure yet, but at the same time, I travel to Atlanta. I'm here now, actually. So, I travel to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's why I asked. I know you're there a lot, so.
Yeah, so I travel here at least once or twice a month, And so I think I'm going to try, as brutal as it's going to be, I think I'm going to try to swing it like with a work trip. So I'm tentatively going to say yes.
Oh, wow.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's a
bold. Especially if we win.
If we won, my God.
Dude, yep. I have a hard time trying to go to a game like that, though. And I know people will probably think this is stupid, but it's like, you know, I don't have a ton of money. I have to be super choosy on which game I go to, right? Yep. And so if I don't want to spend all of my money that I could, you know, all the expendable income that I have to watch us get murdered on TV by
no, and me either. And that's why I'm saying if it wasn't with a work trip that, you know, my flight, my hotel, everything else is essentially expensed already, then I don't see the logic of doing it for me, or at least the rationale. So like,
you know, good for people that do go, and like, I hope they love it. And like, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, like, for me, I can't justify that. Especially, I mean, I got a wife now. There's no way she's going to be like,
she'll kill you before you spend that money on an Alabama game where we're going
to. Well, she'll probably ask me, will that make you happy? And I'll say, no, I'll probably come home crying. And then, you know,
I don't get, I mean, I understand, you know, being a diehard fan and everything, but I don't know. I'm right there with you, Jordan. It's not even about the money for me. It's just, I don't want to go all the way to Atlanta I'm sure those tickets are going to be outrageous.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, how many people are going to be in those stands at that point in time? How expensive are tickets going to be? Yeah. So all that stuff is going to get, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. I went to the Gator game in Orlando, and even those tickets were like $300, and that was in like a high school stadium.
A
fairly brand new stadium against God himself, Nick Saban.
Yeah, no thanks.
Like, it's gonna be their first game since the national champ. So whatever. We can let's be positive. Something that I have been. I guess we could just do like we could just discuss Kane's topics. But one thing that I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on. A lot of talk has been made about the wide receiver room and, you know, how bad they were last year. They were horrendous. Mike Harley was good. But when you look at what Pope and Wiggins and Peyton, what they did not do, and we didn't really get to see the younger guys, you know, there's definitely room to be concerned when you look at this group. I think they're going to improve year two under Rob Likens. Early prediction, who would you say, and we got Charleston Rambo, who would you say, and AB, I'll ask you first and we'll go to Jordan. Who would you predict are the three starting wide receivers week one?
Oof. I mean, Harley, I think, is a lock at this point, considering what he put together on that second half of the season last year. I'm hoping that Rambo at least is, if not that number one guy for us. I know he's got to fix up some drop issues, but at least he becomes our number two guy. And then, man, the third one's going to be tough because I really don't have faith in Pope. I think it's going to be one of the younger guys. I just don't know which one it's going to be yet. So it's going to be, and I think, you know, the second year guys, I don't think it's going to be any of the true freshmen, but it's going to be one of the younger guys as that third guy.
So I agree in that I think, it, you know, Harley and Rambo are, I'm already penciling them in. I know Rambo had some issues last year, but I refuse to believe that he's going to be as bad as the room performed last season. I can't accept that just yet. I want to predict Breshard Smith as our starting slot receiver, but I'm actually going to say Mark Pope.
Okay. All right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, Smith, dude, he's, like, he's already 200 pounds, man. Like, he has a college body, you know?
And he can run like a freaking deer.
Oh, yeah.
He is so damn fast.
Yeah.
So I think Rambo is going to be one of the starters on the outside. Here, so I am writing an article about him and how he fits into our offense on State of the U. Did you guys know going into last year, Todd McShay had Charleston Rambo – in his like early mock draft for this upcoming draft, like a first round pick.
When?
Like, so going into this past year.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, so like I mean, his, coming his too on, early 2021. Like
750 yard season, something like that.
Wow. Gotcha.
And but so like the talent is there. He just dipped off. Like the consistency isn't there, not to the extent of Pope and Wiggins. But I mean, I want to say that he's going to turn it around and be, you know, a threat for us, and he can stretch the ball downfield. We actually have a deep ball threat, maybe, if he can catch the ball. If you were to ask me, I think it's going to be Rambo, Harley in the slot, and I don't know on the other one. I don't want to say Mark Pope.
I don't want to say Mark Pope either. I think that ship has sailed.
But here's the question, and this goes for a lot of the positions on the football field for the Canes. Do you think that this is finally the year where seniority gets pushed to the side and they really do start, you know, they start the guys who, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do, but here's the question that I ask in response to that, because that's actually a popular idea that's going around Twitter right now, is that, you know, finally we will, you know, get rid of this seniority thing. But what on earth has changed to lead people to believe that that will finally happen? We have the same head coach. All of the other people are in place. I mean, it's not like Rhett Lashley is coming back, you know? So if people thought that was a problem at wide receiver, well, Lashley and Likens are back. You know, Manny's still there. He's running the defense now. Not enough has changed. I don't see any reason why that would change if that was the problem last year.
The only answer I have to that is maybe because Lashley runs the offense, maybe, you know, because it's a second year, it's like in second year, maybe they're a little bit more hard ass when it comes to the depth chart. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think, AB?
I mean, desperation can sometimes force you to make changes you wouldn't have made otherwise. Are we in that position this year? I hope so. I mean, I hope so. But to, you know, to Jordan's credit here, it's still the same staff. I'm not sure, like, are they going to get past starting a D. Wiggins or Mark Pope? Are they, you know, I'm not too confident that they will.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I asked this question to Gabby Arudia. We had him on before you. But I'm curious as to what you're expecting out of the defense as a unit. You know, you and I have talked about this in conversations on the phone, you know, but we're returning, what, like 85% of our starters. And, dude, like, if you look back at people's tweets probably 2 months ago, they weren't just complaining about the coaching staff, right? They were complaining about individual players. And those players are still here. They all came back. So why is it that we're expecting drastically different results?
So here's my take on it. So three of the top five PFF graded players from 2020 are gone.
Yeah.
In the entire team, two of which were Phillips and Roche. So
who were the other? So I'm guessing Brevin was one.
Yep.
Who were the other two?
So one is King, and hopefully he's still playing this year, but two was Phillips, three was Roche.
Liz Headley?
No. So we had Phillips, Roche. I forget who the fifth one was. Okay. I'd have to check. But so it's going to be interesting to see what Simpson can figure out on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Be it the development of Harvey and Nesta or with the addition of DeAndre Johnson. But in the past, Miami's D has been predicated on the defensive line's ability to disrupt the offense, which masked some deficiencies on the second and third levels.
Yeah.
So can our D get back to that with what may be the most unproven defense of Manny's tenure? It's going to be tough to see.
Yeah. Okay. So this is kind of going along that question, Jordan. And it's funny because someone DM'd me this today and said, you and Jordan should talk about this. He said, we're currently third in the country for this next year with 91% production coming back, which I think, and this is quoting, which I think is a huge deal with the recruiting class we have and the staff additions Manny has made. I try not to be a homer, but that and the schedule set up nicely for Manny to finally get us over the hump. I guess I don't know if that's a question, but I know Jordan, I know you and I have we've talked in length, and we're trying not to be negative, guys. To the listeners, we promise we're not trying to. We're just trying to. At least I'm just trying to say, look a little deeper.
Yeah, like, we're just trying to be rational, right? Because yeah. I know that like. It's part of the Miami Hurricanes fan base, and Twitter kind of turns into an echo chamber, whereas like one person has this idea, like you're seeing it going around. I see it a lot right now with the experience that the offensive line has. You know, so one person points out, hey, we're returning all five starters on the offensive line. We're going to have a very experienced line now. And then that just gets hyped. You know what I mean? It gets repeated, and every time it gets repeated, there's more exclamation points on it. And then you need someone to come in and throw a little bit of cold water on it and be like, yeah, but that was the 91st ranked offensive line last year. Mm-hmm. So even if they improve by 40 spots, they're still not good enough. You know, they're still 50th. Like, yeah. So I think what I'm trying to say is Marsh and I just try to be rational.
Yeah. And I mean, you guys know where I stand on it. So, you know. I just try to temper my expectations. You know what I mean? Like, let's
any said, normal let's human should.
Like, not so fast. Like, and frankly, I'm just in a position where, again, I don't want to say I'm completely soured, but it's you got to prove it to me at this point. Like, I'm not going to go into this season yet again for, you know, the 15th year, what it seems like, you know, 15th year in a row that, you know, we're just going to do what we're supposed to do, and we figured it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see. I think that here's my thoughts on it. I think that the hirings and the adjustments that Manny has made to the defensive staff, I think that it definitely I'm not all the way back on. Well, I'm kind of back on Manny for now. You know, I'm back for now. He did what he was supposed to do, even though Ed Orgeron really, you know, did his job for him. But I really
and Utah
I
State, love actually.
That. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. That was me yeah. and Jordan's do.
Right. That's but the no, only I, thing
I
have.
I love that you know, we got T Rob, we got T Will, we have actual developers on defense. You know, Coach Stroud is gone from the defensive line, but Simpson's there. I think DVD working with T Rob is gonna be, you know, a good fit at cornerback. That being said, and because I predicted 8-4 before the staff adjustments were made, and then when they were made, I'm sticking with my 8-4, and people are like, well, what do you know, how could you do that? You know, they're coaching changes. That puts us up to 10 wins. I'm like, yeah, but that still doesn't dismiss the fact that there are major, major holes on this team. I mean, look at our linebackers, for instance.
Yeah.
Look at our linebackers.
They didn't get better at all.
No. Like, I know that we have a developer, but you can only make – you know, Bradley Jennings into such a great player. Corey Flagg's a solid linebacker, but he's only going to be a sophomore. And he's not like, it's not like he's Brian Urlacher. It's not like Ray Lewis is lining up a linebacker. Sam Brooks, you know, we're still waiting to see, but, and then a wide receiver. What the hell? I mean, how could you expect us to, you know, win 10 games when no one can catch the ball?
Yeah. I'm kind of worried that I'll bounce this off you guys. Should I be worried that we didn't see anything out of our true freshman last year, or do you think that's fine? I'm saying that considering the state of the wide receiver room last year.
So I would say it's a little unfair just because of COVID.
Okay.
That took away a lot of time for these guys to learn things, to get acclimated, and that's I'm not that's trying to make point. An excuse here, but that time was vital to them, especially for all the early enrollees that were there for that intent.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very rational take. So well,
And think about how many early enrollees we had last year. We had a record.
It was almost the entire recruiting class.
The wide receivers enrolled early, and so you know they were there at the start of spring camp, and then a week goes by, and then COVID hits. They don't get that, that time to you know, for a player to come in as a true freshman and enroll early and get that spring practice feel and get that experience. That's huge for them. I'm surprised that we didn't see them a little bit more. But the wide receiver room, man, it's so frustrating.
It is
so frustrating. But I also think that, we did see flashes of Jalen Knight and our running back. I think Don Chaney is our best running back.
I think, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, how crazy is that though? Is like we all felt really great about Cam Harris last year, and now going into this season, like he could be our third best running back, and I don't have a problem with someone saying that. But he's still good, Yeah. Like we're doing really well at the running back position.
Well, it's for the longest time it's been one of our stronger positions, right?
Yep.
So I don't think it's really a surprise there. I think a lot of what happened last year is when Clemson played us, they basically put the playbook out on us.
Mm-hmm.
And that combined with the fact that no one respected our wide receivers, they really just jammed the box up. And then that killed any running game we had there on after.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you can't like to establish a running game. You have to make the defense fear your passing game a little bit.
An extent. Or you got to have stud offensive linemen that it doesn't matter who's in front of them. They're blocking.
We didn't have either.
Exactly.
Our running, our offensive line improved a little bit, and bless Garen Justice's heart. He's working with all that he has right now. They're just not an elite offensive line. I mean, DJ Scaife, I don't know what the hell has happened to him.
Happened with Donaldson? Because we saw him the week before the UNC game, and he was moving people.
Yeah.
And then he didn't play for the rest of the year. And we're going, what happened to this guy? Where'd he go? Why are they not playing him?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. And I don't know. So I'm not like so sold on him this year either. Honestly, I think our guards, because I was doing some research today. It looks like so left tackle Zion Nelson, right tackle Jared Williams, center Corey Gaynor. That's pretty much, But Donaldson and Scaife at guards really, really scare me, because Scaife was our worst offensive lineman last year. He was horrendous. And then
hopefully that's a position where I don't know if, Isaiah Walker or John Campbell's are natural fits there, but maybe one of these younger guys can step up into that role. But, it's tough for offensive linemen playing that young unless you're just a massive body.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the two guys that could probably make a push at guard is Jalen Rivers and Cleveland Reed. I think Jalen Rivers has a lot of, I think he'll be a starter in 2022, and I think he'll be a solid offensive lineman. Isaiah Walker, he'll probably play – he can play, either guard or tackle. But going back to the whole running game and the passing game, Clemson exposed us. They exposed our offense and – like you can't run the ball when the defense isn't fearing your passing game at all. When Pope and Wiggins can't create any separation, of course the defense is going to, crowd the box and just swarm on Cam Harris and Don Chaney, even though Chaney and Knight and ran the ball a lot better second half of the year. Oh God. It's frustrating. And I see one of the articles I wrote today. I say this every year, but we better see more tight end play this year. I need Will Mallory to get like 650, 700 yards. I think he can do it. And here's my point. And here's my why I feel so strongly about this is that why do you keep trying to throw the ball to your inconsistent receivers who are not producing when Will Mallory is wide open and creating separation and, he's put his drops behind him? Why aren't you throwing the ball to him 5, 6, 7 times a game? That's something that I know Brevin actually had his best year last year at Miami, but I still feel like.
And he was a difference maker in that offense. When he was playing, that offense was a different offense.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the FSU game, the Louisville game. Yeah. You know, Brevin, well, both. I mean, Brevin, even the NC State game when Brevin was out and Mallory had a huge game. I think that I'm just not confident in our wide receivers this year. I think Harley's going to have another solid season. But other than that, going into last year, Jordan and I were very confident that Harley would have a solid season and D Wiggins would have a solid season. And then as the offseason went on, we were like, oh, I think it's Mark Pope's year too. I don't know what the hell we were drinking.
Dude, the D Wiggins thing was my absolute worst take of last season.
Bro, was so hot. We preached. Preached.
I floated the idea of a 1,000-yard season out there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hilarious in retrospect because he was so bad this year.
He had as many yards as Will Mallory. He had like 300 yards. Yeah. 300. We were predicting at least 800.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm not sure how many people.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many people thought otherwise, though? You know, based off of what you were seeing in the latter part of the year prior, like you felt like Wiggins was coming on. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So I don't think it was it wasn't an irrational take by any means.
Yeah.
Not at that time. It's just, I think we were all kind of surprised how that position kind of regressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is strange, you know? I think it wasn't great besides KJ Osborne the year prior.
That's true.
But, I mean, that's part of the problem, you know, is we assume that there will be progression, but there doesn't always have to be.
Right.
You know? Like guys,
I mean, that also shows you that just a position coach change isn't always the answer. You know, we all like Rob Likens. We think he's going to do good things here, but that was year one and there wasn't an immediate impact. So you, to say the same thing for T Will and T Rob, like, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
How much do you put that? Because Harley had a good year, but obviously the other two were very disappointing. How much do you put the lack of production and the disappointment of the wide receivers on Coach Likens, and how much do you put on the actual players?
For me, the players always matters more. Like if you're going to give them the credit for playing good, then they need to get some of the credit for playing bad also. So I think if I had to weigh it out, it's not a perfect balance. It's not a 50-50 thing. It's got to be more on the player. But at the same time, your positions coach has to answer for something. So, you know, he's partly to blame. You know, why wasn't that room motivated until, you know, Harley had that rant that we weren't practicing hard enough or we weren't taking this thing seriously enough? That's the point where, you know, the mental aspect of it really comes down to, you know, your positions coach.
Yeah. So I think years, hold on, let me just make this one point. I think year two is really where we're going to see, you know, how much
some progression
Coach Likens has.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I got a number of mailbag questions that I want to ask. I'm going to steal these from your Twitter, Marsh.
Okay.
So the first question is, do you think the bye week before UNC will be another letdown, or does Manny finally start the trend of being prepared after bye weeks now that he has analyst help? So essentially, what's going to happen at UNC this year? And I'm excited to talk about this with you guys.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, you cut off a little bit. What was the question?
Oh, so the question was, do we think that the bye week is going to help, you know, is that going to affect how we play against UNC? But, you know, I would like to streamline the question and steer it a little towards, you know, what should we expect for this UNC game? How are you guys feeling about it this early in the process?
You can go first, AB.
I mean, I don't feel great about it based off of our history against them the past 2 years. Yeah. I mean, plain and simple. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a complete a 100% loss like the way a Clemson or an Alabama game would be, but you know, I'm not confident going into that game based off of the history already. I think Mack Brown really knows the ins and outs of how Manny operates, and he's got his number at this point. And Sam Howell's one hell of a quarterback, regardless of which running backs he's got on his team. So all that's considered, it makes it difficult for me to say that I feel really good about going into UNC and winning that game, regardless if there's a bye week or not.
So I mean, I agree. I mean, I think as a Miami fan, you would have to be crazy to say you would feel good going into that game at like right now. Sam Howell is probably going to be, you know, top three quarterback in college football next year. They did lose both their running backs who are still running to this day at Hard Rock. You know, they lost some of their receivers. They lost their talented linebacker. But still, that's going to be we're going to be off for 16 days going into that game. It's going to be a Saturday in Chapel Hill. You don't know the whole, you know, if they're going to let fans in, if it's going to be 50,000 people in there. We don't play well on the road in those situations. But I don't feel good about that game. If I'm the Hurricanes, that's the game that I have penciled in, that I am up at night thinking about, like I want revenge. I don't know how this team is going to perform. I hate that it's alpha bye. I hate that it's off. I don't know why we have our biggest games every single season off a bye, but that's just the way it is. And I think Mack Brown just lives inside Manny Diaz's head, honestly.
Yeah.
I think there's a psyche, you know, aspect to it.
That's an underrated component, in my opinion. You know, like Mack Brown played against a Manny Diaz defense every single day in practice for, I mean, I don't know how many years Manny was at Texas, but that's a lot of FaceTime up close and personal with a Manny Diaz defense.
Yep.
So, like, Mac knows what the deal is, you know, and Phil Longo is an incredible offensive coordinator. So, I don't know, man. I agree with you. People that feel good about this game are crazy, and they're being irrationally high on the Hurricanes, because we've shown nothing in the last 2 years to make us excited about this. Sam Howell is incredible. Mac just has our number, and... You know, we've yet to show that we have an answer for what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
I actually don't think the bye week thing is a real thing. I think it's a fun thing to make fun about. Well, not necessarily fun, but it's just something to poke at. But I just want to stop going into these kind of games and looking just utterly unprepared unable to dictate anything. Like, at any point did we dictate a single thing against Clemson or UNC?
I think a big advantage for Miami going into a game like that is going to be the addition of the analyst that we just hired, Bob Shoup.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play a pivotal role in helping Manny prepare a little bit better, you know, just because he has more experience than anyone on that staff. So I think that's an underrated part that some people aren't thinking about.
Do you guys think he's in play for the DC position after this year?
Yes.
Yeah, how old is he? He's old, isn't he? Not that old, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old he is.
I think he's going to be in play. You know, I think so. We have
he's 54. He's not that old.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, don't we have we didn't fill Blake Baker's, we didn't fill his role, so we have an open spot.
Correct.
It's Manny Diaz. He's the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and the linebackers coach, you know. So, I fully expect Shoup to be in play for defensive coordinator. I'm not saying he's a lock, but why not, right? He's had a lot of success in a lot of places. He's getting a huge payday from University of Michigan this year. That's why he's not on field for us.
Yep.
It just makes sense that he would at least be a candidate.
Yeah, I think he'll be a candidate. Also, maybe the co-defensive coordinator roles of T. Rob and T. Will. I think that could be a thought. Yeah. Honestly. Okay, what's another question?
Okay, so let's do breakout players for offense and defense.
Ooh. You want to go first, Jordan?
Yeah, sure. So I am really hopeful for Jared Harrison Hunt on defense. I mean, I know he popped, like maybe some people wouldn't consider it a breakout player, right? But I think there's potential for him to become a legitimate superstar, or a star on this team. He has so much talent. We have Jeff Simpson, who was very successful here, who's familiar with JHH. And, we need a marquee player on that defensive line, or the whole defense is kind of in trouble.
Yep.
I worry that I make that pick out of desperation. You know, we were talking to Gabby just a little bit, and he thinks that, the success of our defense will be predicated on the defensive line, which... I mean, that's a problem. We lost our, Phillips and Roche were head and shoulders better than everybody else on the defensive line last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of our lesser defensive line performances in the last 5 years.
Yep.
So there's some question marks there. So I really think we need Harrison Hunt to step up. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I don't know where to go here. Maybe Will Mallory. How about that?
I like it.
How about we see Will Mallory busting on the scene as a first round pick?
Yes, I like it.
So, man. Okay. What do you think, AB?
So we touched on this one before, but, I think Don Chaney is going to get a ton of opportunity to take the first reps in that room. You saw him come on late. I think to the eye test, he just always seemed like the best running back in that room. So I'm going to go with him on offense. On defense, I know he flashed, but I think Gil Frierson's a guy that's really going to become a star next year.
Yeah.
The guy is an absolute savage. He is, I think he's got a few screws loose in his head, because that dude makes a tackle and he's jumping around like a madman. I love it. So I'm going with Frierson on defense, Don Chaney on offense.
Yeah, I love Frierson. He was my breakout player on defense last year, and yeah, he made me look smart. So my offensive breakout player was also Don Chaney, but to give another answer, I think Jalen Knighton's gonna have a big year. I think Chaney and Knighton are going to carry the load, kind of like what they did this past year at the second half of the season. I think Knighton, hopefully he recovers from his, his injuries, but I just love that running back duo. On defense, I'm going to go with Jafari Harvey at defensive end. He flashed some plays at the end of last year, especially in the bowl game against Oklahoma State. The dude is a freak. Dude is an absolute, he looks like the Predator. I'm really excited to see what Jess Simpson does with not just the defensive line, but especially Jafari Harvey, redshirt sophomore. I think he has a really bright future ahead of him. But I think a lot of pressure is going to be placed on him because he is supposed to be the next guy. I mean, we're not.
Yeah, I hope both of you guys are right with the defensive line picks, because that would bode very well for our defense at this point. So I hope both of you are right.
Might be the only thing to save our defense from catastrophe, honestly.
Well, yeah. And I want to go touch back on your defensive line comment, Jordan. I think what we're not – you know who's going to have to carry that unit and nobody's talking about is Nesta. Yeah. I mean, this is his senior year. He had a pretty good year last year. He wasn't as consistent as we'd like him to be, but it was by far his best season.
He was sixth on PFF, by the way, for the team.
Yeah, I mean, we see the flashes, and I think he doesn't – it's hard to –
the consistency just wasn't there last year. That's
well, and thing. It's hard for, regular football fans to really see the impact that a defensive tackle makes.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to get 12, 15 sacks like a Jalen Phillips or a Quincy Roche, but, his role in the middle. But now it's his – it's his senior year. You say run it back, and you guys have that 2018 class, they came in with a lot of swagger, a lot of confidence. And if there's one guy that has like who to me, Nesta is one of the most important players on this team. I mean, he's a senior. He is a leader now. Like, yeah. I know we have Bubba Bolden, we have Gil and everything, but when you think about it, Nesta has been pretty much not a starter since he was a freshman, but I mean, he has played a lot since a freshman. And so I think it's going to
be his time to
anchor that unit.
100%.
Yeah. I hope it's there, man. I've been more of a Nesta skeptic. But I hope. I hope. I think he's capable. I just want to see it before I am all about it. So.
Yeah. I'm just ready for the season to start, man. I'm just ready for at least spring practice to start.
Yeah,
I'm ready
me too. To
down a green tree if the media is allowed.
So that's the other thing that I'd like to talk about. What are we doing for that?
For what?
For spring ball. Game.
I guess they don't really announce the spring game until a little bit later, but I'll be here.
Nice.
Jordan?
I'm going to check my Sky Miles, man. I'm going to see what I can do.
See if I can donate a few of mine.
Yeah. Even if I have to sleep under a freeway overpass in Hollywood, just I'll do it.
There's one nearby. You're good.
Cool.
Very, very beautiful stretch of land.
Sounds good. I'm game. All right, guys. Let's wrap it up. It's been a great episode, but man, thanks for coming on, AB. And how about you tell us your the Twitter handle for Stickers by AB one more time?
Yeah, so it's Stickers by AB, STICKERZ by AB. That's where you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also stickersbyab.com for all your sticker needs. The only place you can stick and rep with us.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to get you on again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, let's go grab that drink next week.
For sure, man. Let's do it.
All right, I'll show you a text.
All right, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yep.
Cool, man. So do we have anything else going?
I'm getting married.
Are you really?
No. No.
I was gonna say, this sounds like a lie, but I needed to be supportive if it wasn't.
but laugh if it's not true. It's okay.
Right? Dude, you need to watch the movie Palm Springs. Have you seen that? It's on Hulu.
I have not.
Highly recommended, dude. I watched it last night with the wifey, and it's Andy Samberg, and it's kind of like it's essentially the same story as Groundhog Day, but it's Andy Samberg, and the setting is that he's at a wedding in Palm Springs, but he's just a random guest, right? He's like the boyfriend of one of the maids of honor, and so. It's just about him living that day.
I don't know how big of a fan of Andy Samberg I am, at least in like his movies.
I feel that. I think he's hit or miss, but he's really good in this one.
Okay. Oh, and how'd you like our tweet from our good friend Brad Kaya today? Just calling me out for the Cowboys. What a bastard.
Is he wrong, though?
No.
Yeah, I know.
It's good to hear from him.
Yeah, thanks for dropping in, Brad.
Miss you, Brad.
Right, we need to get him on the show again, dude.
We do. We should tweet at him.
Yeah.
Miss you.
Yeah. I know, dude.
How cold is it there right now?
It's actually been pretty nice, dude. Like yesterday, it was 52 degrees.
Wow, I am so jealous.
I know.
Bro, it's starting to get like humid here, like hot.
Okay.
It was like 81 or 82 at when I left for work at 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah, that sounds pretty ridiculous, honestly.
I was sweating, bro. I'm a sweater.
Me too. So we're looking at like 50 degrees for the next few days, and then I think it's supposed to snow over the weekend. But I don't know. I mean, you know that Utah doesn't really have spring. We have a crappy spring system where it's just like it's 50 degrees for a week, and then it snows for a week, and then all of a sudden it's summer. So
I miss Utah.
Dude, you know what I'm excited for is those like early summer thunderstorms that roll in. And it rains, yeah. But it's like 80 degrees outside. Yeah. There's nothing better, dude.
Smell.
Yeah.
I miss that place.
Come on over, dude. Come on over. Yeah. I've been house hunting recently, so once that happens, you got a place to stay whenever you're coming into town.
Okay. Yeah. The next time I'll be there won't even be till June.
Oh my gosh.
For a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it yours? Your wedding?
No, but I am I'm a groomsman. Always the groomsman, never the groom.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, last thing. Any fun plans for Valentine's Day?
No. Not
sorry,
really.
For prolonging this. I always just
no, you're good. You're good. Not really. I mean, so my wife and I had our third anniversary of when we started dating, or like when we made ourselves, you know, exclusive or whatever. That was just like a week and a half ago. So we booked like a couple's massage, and that happened yesterday. And then we went out to dinner, and I think we kind of agreed that that was Valentine's Day. So sounds like a trap. We'll find out if it is or not, but I'm not going to do much for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I hear you.
Sounds like a trap, doesn't it?
What a stupid holiday.
She's gonna, the day after Valentine's Day, she's gonna be like, you really didn't get me anything else? Like, you what mean a, after we agreed a, that we were doing anything?
What a scam. And it's on a Sunday.
That's what marriage is, dude. Marriage is a scam. No, I'm just kidding. It's great.
It sounds great, man.
It's a beautiful institution.
It's just a relation. Yeah, I'm not gonna get all sentimental.
Yeah. It's okay. Hey, it has its moments.
All right. When should we do this again? We said Tuesday on so we stuck to that. When
did it for the people.
Yeah, we're doing this for you guys, so you better be freaking grateful.
Right. Right.
We love you guys. When should we do this again?
Dude, I'm good for whenever. If we can make it happen on Thursday, that'd be fun. Or you know, weekend episodes are always nice as well. So I'm good for whenever, bro.
All right. Okay. All righty. Let's do let's plan on Thursday then.
Sounds good. Perfect. All right.
Well, until then, we love you guys. I love you, Jordan, and go Canes.
Love you too, Marsh. Go Canes.
Podcast.